Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey everybody, welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm your host, Dave Woodward. Today's episode is super killer because you have the opportunity to hear from Russell himself teaching a principle that we find is of utmost importance in your business, and that is the importance of building your culture and communicating with your fans on a regular basis. So this content you're going to get actually was a training Russell did a while back for our Funnel University students. If you want the actual video and you want the download and you want to get more content about how this actually works, go to funnelhackerradio.com/funnelu. Again, funnelhackerradio.com/funnelu, and you'll be able to get the video, you'll be able to get the download and everything else. But without any further ado, what I've done is I've actually stripped the audio off of that video so you can hear this. The content is so critical. I want to make sure that you're using this on a regular basis, and I didn't want you to have to wait. So without any further ado, Russell, take it away, bud.
Hey, everyone. This is Russell Brunson. I want to welcome you to this month's training. And this training I'm excited for because it's something that every time I talk about this, I don't think people believe me at first. And I usually get some people that fight me against it, and then those who actually do it have amazing success. In fact, I fought this for a long time, and I still struggle to do it consistently. It's something that takes some dedication to do consistently, but it's also where I've seen some of the highest revenues coming from in our company. So it's important to do and to be consistent with, and it's what we call our daily Seinfeld emails. Now, if you read the .com Secrets book, I talked about this, and it's fun. I had a little while ago. One of the guys who read the book, his name is Tim Schmidt. He read the book, loved it. He actually hired us, paid us $100,000 to come out and train his company. And one of the things that made me laugh is he kind of pulled me inside and said, "Hey, this is the deal." He's like, "Right now in our company, every Friday we send out this big like corporate-y style recap email with a bunch of articles and links, and we spend a ton of time and effort doing it." And he's like, "I hate it. It doesn't make any money." He's like, "I need you to convince everybody that we need to do Seinfeld emails in our company." And I was like, "Okay." He's hiring me to come in and be the bad guy and, you know, convince his team that they need to change everything. But anyway, I was like, "All right." So we go through and I taught like for like an hour to them on the concept of daily Seinfeld emails. I showed examples, kind of got them understanding it. And I could tell there was this resistance from his team. They did not want to do it. They fought me tooth and nail. And they were coming up with excuse after excuse. And I said, "Stop. Let's do something really fun. I want all you guys right now to spend 3 minutes and sit down and write a daily Seinfeld email about what you guys do, about something that happened cool in your life. And then we're going to go around the room and we're going to actually have everyone share their email." And at first they were kind of like, kind of fighting it. And then they all sat down and they kind of did it really quick. And the structure of an email, of a daily Seinfeld email, really quickly is you're basically picking a story that happened to you that day, and it can be anything. That's why we call them Seinfeld emails. It's like the movie or the TV show Seinfeld, right? Like all of these stories are stories about nothing. Like that's the whole point of them, right? If you think about the movie, the TV show Seinfeld, it's a show about nothing. That was the whole funny thing in the show. If you remember, one of the episodes when they were pitching their show to NBC called The Jerry Show, and they're like, "Well, what's the show going to be about?" It's like, "It's a show about nothing." And like, "Well, why is anyone going to watch it?" "Well, because it's on TV, and it's this whole funny thing about how it's a show about nothing." And that's kind of what daily Seinfeld emails are. We found that as much as we think that our audience wants to get content and be educated, for the most part, those who assume that are wrong. What your audience wants is they want to be entertained. Like when all is said and done, that's it. Okay, and it's hard, and I promise you that you're probably thinking that I'm wrong, or you're fighting me or whatever, but when all said and done, like that's it, they want to be entertained. And so it's content wrapped in entertainment, and that's what these Seinfeld emails do. So the structure of it is usually you're telling a story about something that's happened to you during the day, and somehow you have to weave that back to your offer. I'm going to show you guys a bunch of examples here in a little bit, but that's kind of the concept. And so I had these guys go around, and they each sat down, and they spent 3 or 4 minutes writing one. And I said, "Okay, let's do them live." And so went and had the first person go. And we had, I think, a group of about 22 people. And each person went and told a daily Seinfeld email. And then, and tied it back to some promotion or something they were doing in their company. And they went through. And it was like by far the most fun thing of our workshop. People were laughing and having fun and everything. And at the end of it, Tim stood up and said, "I'm curious, guys, how many in this room have ever read our Friday emails?" And no, like there's one person, the person who wrote them rose their hand. Nobody else in the company even read them. And said, "How many of you guys would read these emails?" And everyone's hands went up. And so that's the difference. That's how we get people to open and to consume and to read. Okay, the reason why people will sit there, and I always use the example of Oprah, even though her show's not on any longer, but people would back in the day, they'd watch Oprah 5 days a week for an hour a day because of this, because she was entertaining. And that's what gets people to open your emails and to keep opening your emails is that. If you're skipping content, you will bore them and they will stop. I don't care how exciting your topic is, how exciting they are. That's not what gets people to stay. People come in for the content and they stay for the relationship with the attractive character. Like, that's kind of how it works. And so that's what's important to understand. So these daily Seinfeld emails give you a way and give you the ability to communicate with your audience. So I'm going to go through this graph and we'll talk about a whole bunch of different things here in a minute. But this is, I created this so you can like look at this because it's kind of hard to come up like, what's a good idea? What's a new thing I can do? And so I made this graph to kind of give you an ability to quickly recall these different ideas and topics and things. And I'll break that down here in a little bit. But first, I want to show you guys a bunch of different examples of daily Seinfeld emails. Now, to begin with, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. The person that I initially learned this concept from was a guy named Ben Settle. And I got on Ben Settle's newsletter. This other guy promoted it. I got on newsletter. And at first, it kind of drove me crazy. I kept getting these emails for this guy's product. And at first, I didn't like it. But I never unsubscribed. I'd read every single email that he sent. And I get so frustrated and so angry. And then one day I remember thinking, man, this guy is like really emotionally like getting me engaged with his emails. Like, that's not something that happens very often. And I was like, I got to step back and not be frustrated by what he was saying, but respect the process of how he was saying it, what he was doing to cause such an emotional reaction. And after that, I ended up buying his course that he sells, and I become great friends with him. And I really respect him a ton as a marketer and as a mentor and just a really super cool guy. But that was kind of my first introduction to this. And what's interesting about him is he is the most consistent person I've ever seen. He sends an email a day, every single day, for forever. And it's like literally amazing. And he archives them on his blog. So I'll show you guys can see like, I don't know how many years of these things in the past. But he is one of the best. And he only really has one product to sell. And he sells it every single day. And that's what's really cool to me is, you know, most of us are like, we send three emails to our list about a product and we move on to the next thing. We're trying to like, we're so scared to keep doing it, where he's been selling the exact same product every day for as long, you know, I've been on his list for 3 or 4 years now, and I know he's been doing it for, you know, before I ever got involved. And so he just is very consistent with one message, one product, one focus. So I'm actually going to start there with him. In fact, if you go here by email, I searched Ben Settle, you can see that like, here's like a million emails from him. Like, that's how consistent he is. Like, that was just June. Like, every single day you're seeing, like, let's see if he's missed one. August 12th, 11th, 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 4th. He's got two there. Oh, that's from his podcast. 3, that's Google Plus. 3, 2, 1. You know, like, every day he does not miss a day. It's amazing. And he just keeps going through. Okay, and now you can pick any of these and you'll see his style. This is the daily Seinfeld emails that we've modeled. So this one right here, I'm just randomly picking this. I haven't watched this one, read this one. Ben Settle, the VSL Nazi. That would have got me to open, right? So I click on it, comes in here. I'm just going to read this. I'm guessing that he, yeah, check it out. So it's some kind of random story that always somehow ties back to his call to action, to his one offer. Okay, so check this out. I recently was informed by someone who claims to be an expert at conversions and sales funnels that I should turn all my sales letters into VSLs, video sales letters, because, and I quote, video sales letters always outconvert text sales letters. Really? Is that right, Chachi? And by the way, I actually agree with Ben at this point. We've had more success recently with text sales letters than video sales letters. So he is actually right, by the way. Anyway. I think not. Yes, VSLs can multiply your sales through the roof, and many do, but anyone saying they are always better is either lying to you and or has some kind of agenda or simply ignorant. Example, all right, how about these mangoes? I can't even read his handwriting. Anyway, his mangoes. Way back in 2007, I wrote a sales letter for Manuel called Magnetic Sponsoring when hanging out at the No Excuse Summit in Vegas last year. Speaking train, the newbie marketing minds. I'm going to make this bigger so you guys can all read it on the video. Marketing Minds attending about email marketing. I got to talking to the guy who runs a business that sells the book, and they told me that sales letters some 7 years later was always chugging along, always kicking butt, nearly unchanged, and has racked a multi-million dollar sales count over the years. Naturally, my team is always trying to make it convert better. One of the things we've done is test the VSL against it. The result, my plain Jane text sales letter handily beat the VSL, and that's just one of many examples. So to all the VSL Nazis out there, quit being dorks. There's no one size fits all anything. And yes, that's free advice. More, this is the beauty of email. I found in many cases, if you do email the way I command you to do it. In fact, it almost doesn't matter what sales letter format you use. In fact, my drogi Jim Yagi has told me repeatedly he will often use my email methodology to send people to a plain old order form and still make a ton of sales. And when we partner in the weight loss niche, we can never get one format to pull better than the other, presumably because the emails were doing the bulk of the selling to our warm list. No, I'm not saying forget sales letters. I'm saying email can do a lot of heavy lifting. It's perfect for people who hate writing long offers or simply suck at it. To learn my email system, read the text letter here, emailplayers.com, Ben Settle. Okay, so he went from via sales down here to using emails to his email player newsletter. Okay, so that's how he transitioned. So that's just one random one I picked out of, could have been literally hundreds of them. He shakes out. So if you go to bensettle.com, which I recommend doing, this is his blog. Let me see if I can shrink this down. There you go. And he, every time he sends an email, he posts it on his blog. So you can go through like 10 years of all his daily Seinfeld emails, and you'll see all of them. So this is one I actually remember reading. This is, I think, the one that I bought from him when it finally, this is one that finally got me just to give him money the first time. So the subject line was, "Here lies the guru fanboy he never scored." So it's October 13, 2003. He said, "In my teen years, I watched a lot of Beavis and Butthead. Explains a lot, huh? And one of my favorite episodes was about Christmas special where they did a parody of the Charles Dickens story about Scrooge. Except in this case, Scrooge was an oppressive restaurant manager who was Beavis, who treated his employees like crap, almost amongst other things. Anyway, so the ghosts show him his fate, and the ghost of the future takes him to the graveyard. And he shows Beavis his grave, and his headstone says, 'Here lies Beavis, he never scored.'" Okay, so right now he's telling this random story about Beavis and Butthead in his email to a marketing list, right? Like, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Okay, and that's the point. Like, this is entertaining. This is like, and if you've seen that episode in the past, you're laughing. You're thinking, "Here lies Beavis, he never scored." Okay, now here he starts transitioning. Ha. Anyway, what does that have to do with emails? A lot, because sadly, that's the fate of many internet marketers. They're never going to score. No, I'm not talking about sexually, although that may be the case too. I'm talking about scoring in the business sense. You know, succeeding, quitting their jobs, getting out of having to rely on a boss for income, or simply getting to a place where they aren't struggling. Why does this happen? And he goes on, and you can kind of see he transitions down, and eventually he pitches Email Player Club. Okay? So that is the format and how a daily Seinfeld email kind of works. And so, again, if you go to bensettle.com, bensettle.com, you can see thousands of examples of them. Okay? Now, I'm going to go back through my emails and show you guys some other examples. Here are some of mine. Now, this is two emails that I sent out following this daily Seinfeld style, and both of these made me over $100,000, which was awesome. So here's the first one I'll send you. Is this is when I sent out. It said, "True story, he flushed $20 million down the toilet today." This is the email. It said, "So yesterday we had a guy apply for my Inner Circle program. I saw his app come through, and I was actually really excited because he was in the golf market. Now, I'm no golfer, but I've got a lot of friends doing $20 million plus in the golf market online. I saw his product, and I knew it was a home run. So the coach who's going to call him back, asked me for my opinion on his business before she called him up. And I sat down for 10 minutes and pulled up three things. First, his three major competitors." By the way, I'm funnel hacking. You guys all know by now. First, his three major competitors. Second, I showed her every site that they were successfully buying traffic from. Third, I showed her the top three converting ads for each of his competitors. And fourth, I showed her the sales funnels that were converting and the main reason why his was not. I then showed her the two media buyers I would use if I were in the golf market, both who can send over 1,000 sales a day consistently. And armed with this information, she called the guy up. Now, he was a little cocky, and rightfully so. He'd sold over 100,000 units of his product on TV, yet for some reason couldn't figure out how to get this pesky internet, thing. She started sharing with him some of my ideas, and then he stopped her. "Look, I read 20 books on internet marketing. There isn't a single thing that Russell could teach me that I don't already know." So she explained, "Look, you could read a million books on jiu-jitsu, but that's not going to help you in a street fight." I thought that was pretty funny, but what happened next was just sad. He said, "Well, Russell doesn't know anything about golf," and then he hung up. Now, while he was right about me not knowing anything about golf, I know everything about selling golf stuff online. I've been doing this for over 10 years now, and I personally trained over 2,500 companies in my offices here in Boise, Idaho in those 10 years. I've worked with a lot of golf guys and one golf gal. I've worked with people in just about every market I can think of except for bowling. I've never had someone teaching bowling come to me, which makes me sad because bowling is my third favorite sport behind wrestling number one and jiu-jitsu number two. Anyway, for about everything else I can think of, I helped to map out a funnel, show them what they were doing wrong, introduce them to my media buyers, and show them what sites to buy ads on and what they should be spending to acquire a customer in their specific market. I then usually intro them to the gurus I know in those areas. After speaking on Dan Kennedy's stages for 6+ years, I got to meet most of the gurus in most industries, and it makes it easy to find connections for those people. Those are the things you can't learn in a book. Those are the things you bring to the table for our inner circle people. Now, my goal for them is to not teach them more stuff, it's to make them more money. Anyway, if you are in the golf Anyway, if you got a golf product, let me know, because I've got a killer $20 million a year blueprint that this dude just flushed down the toilet because of his arrogance or his ignorance. Either way, he lost out. You can just plug in and run with it. Or if you sell, well, almost anything else, I'd love to help you with that too. Our next Inner Circle meeting is here in Boise in May. If you like, you can come, but you've got to act fast. You can apply here. Oh, and we only accept cool people. If you like to flush money down the toilet, please don't apply. Thanks, Russell Brunson. So there's an example of some, in fact, the story behind that is some guy, this story's true. The guy was like super rude and my salesperson came in like in tears. And so I wrote up an email. So this is the Daily Seinfeld email. We sent it out. We got like almost 100 applications that came from that that turned into over $100,000 in sales. Pretty sweet. Okay, let me show you another example. This is one. This one was awesome too. All right, so this one says, wrestling is like, or jiu-jitsu is like wrestling for old fat guys and other marketing stuff. So tomorrow I'm fighting in a jiu-jitsu tournament. For those of you on my list who don't know what jiu-jitsu is, it's kind of like wrestling for old fat guys, which is great for me because while I still look like I'm 13 years old, I am actually getting a lot older. I'm 34 years old now and fatter, 30 pounds heavier than when I was wrestling. Anyway, I have weigh-ins in a few hours, and as of right now, I'm still 7 pounds over. Good thing is I'm a wrestler, and we have some awesome weight-cutting skills. In fact, I just found my old weight-cutting clothes this morning. Check them out. And there's a picture of me being a dork. Yes, they're a little tight, but my 3-year-old told me I look like a ninja, so they can't be that bad, right? Anyway, in about an hour, I'm going to be going to the wrestling room, and within 30 to 40 minutes, I'll lose all seven pounds. And tomorrow, I get to step on the mat with a bunch of younger, faster guys whose only goal in life is to choke me out or to break my arm, whichever comes first. I am so excited. So why do I tell you this? Because this week, we did well over 6 figures in sales. Not this month, this week. We did it without any product launches, without any affiliates. And while it's pretty much a normal week for us, this week was special because we also did it without me actually being in the office. Yep, you guessed it. I spent most of the week in a wrestling room getting ready for the tournament this weekend. Yet we still did 6 figures in sales while I was gone. Would you like to learn how I did it? Would you like to see how to build a business that can run just as good when you're gone as when you're here? Are you ready to take your company to the next level? If so, I've got good news for you. As long as I don't end up in the hospital after a match this weekend, then I'm going to be coming into the office next week. That gives me time to personally work with 2 more people to help build out their funnel, the same type of funnel we use to pull in 6-figure weeks like clockwork. If you're ready to take your game to the next level and create a business that can truly give you time freedom so you can do what you love, let's get on the phone and figure out how we can work together. Sounds good? If so, then apply here. Oh, and if you're looking for a get-rich-quick scheme, this isn't it. If you're looking for a work hard and build an awesome company scheme, then I'm your man. Okay, I'm off to cut weight. Wish me luck this weekend. Thanks, Russell Brunson. P.S. I know that it's not healthy to cut 7 pounds in under an hour, so no email me telling me that it's not healthy. I'm pretty sure that stepping on the mat with someone 30 pounds heavier is a lot less healthy than me losing 7 pounds of water weight in an hour. Haha. Okay. So that's another one. Again, some random thing happening. I'm about to go to a jiu-jitsu tournament, send out a Seinfeld email. From that, we had like 70 or 80 applications and did over another $100,000 in sales. Okay. So you guys see how this works? It's picking things that are happening that are relevant to you, that are interesting, that are exciting, that your audience, you know, they're listening to you for a reason, and it's typically they come in because of they want to learn something, and then they stay because they want to be entertained by you. Okay, when I was learning from Dan Kennedy, I was at one of his events, and he had people stand up. He's like, "Who's been in the Dan Kennedy world for over a year?" And everyone stood up. "Who's been in over 5 years?" You know, a couple people sat down. "Who's been studying me for over 10 years, over 20 years, over 30 years?" And people still in the room that had been there for over 30 years, and there's probably like 6 guys still standing in the room. And he said, "You guys, do you realize that I have not had an original thought for over 30 years? Why do you guys keep coming?" He's like, "I haven't taught you anything new. The same thing that I keep teaching every single time." And he said, "This is a lesson." He's like, "People come for the content. They stay for the attractive character." Okay? They've been coming for 30 years because of the relationship, because of whatever reason, whatever bond they feel like they have with the attractive character. That's what keeps them coming. Okay, that's what you're trying to hear with your emails, you guys. They came in on a tripwire, a free report, or free book, or whatever, but they stay because of your personality, because of your stories, because of they can relate to you, and that's what these Daily Seinfeld emails are about. Okay, all right. So I showed you Ben Settles. This is Dagan Smith. Dagan was one of my he for like 2 years was consistent every single day, and then he's kind of fallen off for a little while. But there's tons of theirs, and he had this thing for a while where he got man boob surgery, and so like he was even putting his name Dagan Man Boob Smith. But I wanted you to read this one because this one I thought was awesome. I read this email and like it was amazing. Okay, so it's called Buying Happiness. Make this one really big so you guys can see. All right, so it says, In the shower this morning, I started thinking about that old saying that money can't buy happiness. And I wondered, why would anyone say or believe something like that? Now, I don't think that money itself produces eternal joy or anything like that. After all, look at all the countless tales of despair attached to winners of those mega millionaire lotteries over the years. Littered among them, you'll find heightened levels of greed, gluttony, powerful jealousy, and colors of the rainbow of sin, and they all tend to result in the less positive outcomes. But I do believe you unequivocally can buy happiness. Let me tell you why. I can remember one time as an awkward and chunky kid sporting my fresh new high top fade, walking to assembly about 2 months into the scholastic year. The walk itself was hilly and probably a little shy of half a mile. We held our Monday morning assemblies in the school gym, which was detached from our main school, so we walked. Rain, sleet, or snow, we walked. But halfway through the walk, where it started to get really hilly, I could hear Rich, an eighth grader behind me, say, "Dagan, why are your legs so skinny, but you have boobs like a girl?" Having no answer to that question, I felt it sting to the core. I suddenly put my head down and continued up the hill. I had little kitty man boobs, which I carried with me until the age of, I don't know, say 30. As you can probably imagine, I was always self-conscious about taking my shirt off. Having boobs and being a boy ain't all it's cracked up to be. Now, by the age of about 25, I weighed 235 pounds, had a body fat percentage of 7%, and could spend 430 pounds for three sets of six, and guess what? I still had those pesky boobs. So God knows I tried to get rid of those bad boys through discipline, sweat, and that's why when you see all those ebooks claiming they cure man boobs, I get pissed. It's horse crap. I don't know how to pronounce that word. It's a medical condition that can only be solved by one thing, surgery. So last year, I bought myself a present. Yep, you guessed it, a boob job. And I can tell you flat out that it was the best $8,000 I've ever spent. I am happier. Example number two. Anyway, he goes on. So that was the man boob thing. And then he goes on to his mom, grandma, blah, 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 blah. And goes on. Oh, he even talked about me in here. Russell Brunson. I made it in his email. And I think eventually, he writes the longest emails of all time. I think eventually he tries to sell something here at the end. Boom, he sells Maximum Leverage. Do you see how that works, though? So he's telling a story, gets you engaged, gets you entertained, and somehow he then translates it into his offer. Another guy who's really good, this is a guy named Jim Yagi. He's one of Ben Settle's friends. I think he learned from Ben. Let's see if I can find one off. Some of these are inappropriate, so I'm not going to read all of them. But at least if I can find one that's good. Let's see. There was one. Oh, this one. When's it cool to fart in public? Like, when'd you open that? Like, what is this guy talking about? Hey, it's pretty lonely when you're a full-time home-based business owner, especially if you're a loner workaholic like me, living on the other side of the world, away from the hub of the home business boom, in a place where the whole concept of working from home is foreign. Let me tell you a funny story to set the stage. Today, so boom, now you're in story time, right? Story time is where people start perking up and start actually listening to you. All right, today I had to go to the Free Zone Business Center to take care of my son's residency visa here. He'd not have to be with me. All he needed was my signature. Actually, my body needed to be with me. But ever since Aya and I got married, I have literally taken her with me everywhere. We're inseparable. As much a loner as I am, I was raised on the value that one's family is the only real friends we have in the world. And I live that rule as if it were God-made. For years, everyone who saw us thought it was cute that I brought my wife everywhere, but they figured the moment we had kids, also changed. So far, it hasn't, even to the business center or meeting. I lug along my wife, my child with me. I might send them off to nearby to keep them busy, but they're always with me. A lesser man would be embarrassed, but I am not. Back to the funny story. There I am in the middle of a bunch of suits in the waiting room, baby carriage in front of me, and my gurgling baby in arms. I'm playing with him. All of a sudden, Adam decides it's a great time to push out a big old fart. The room was quiet, and his fart echoed loud and clear for all to hear. Many turned to look disapprovingly in our direction. My wife was humiliated, and she blushed red and prepared to leave the room. Me, I thought it was hilarious. As I've often said to you guys, the thing I value above all else is my independence. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I do things my way, and that's that. You should try sometime. Celebrate your independence. It's liberating. But I also mentioned at the start of this message that having a home business is lonely. And as fulfilling as the company of a family can be, there are times when your success depends on being surrounded by your peers, people with the same interests as you, working on similar problems as you. Over 7+ years, I've done online traffic, all of which I made living exclusively for my home business. I found my most productive times when I've had my biggest breakthroughs were while interacting with my peers, sometimes in partnerships, other times in masterminds. Indeed, my first attempt at anything kind of blows. But if I get some feedback from someone else, their ideas and mine turn into something quite magical. For instance, I've been in one mastermind for over 5 years before launching anything. And he goes, anyway, he keeps going in here. Actually, he's paid transitions, and then talks about his communicationology course. Okay, so that's kind of the structure of daily Seinfeld emails. I want to show you guys a bunch of those so you can kind of see different styles, how Dagan does his, how Ben does his, how I do mine, how Jim does his. So you can see some examples because you got to find your own tone, your own voice. But the biggest key is telling a story that's relevant to what's happening in your life right now, but then figuring out how to transition that into one of your offers. Okay, if you don't transition it, just a waste of an email. Like every email should be pushing somebody somewhere. Otherwise, it's, I don't know. If there's not a link for me, then so there you go. All right, so they signed in the email. So here's kind of the graph that you guys, if you're part of the .com series monthly, you probably got this in the mail, or if you were active when this month happened, and so you can print this up, or you have this on your wall. If not, you can get it from the members area, and you can print it out and have it. But this is kind of my cheat sheet for me to kind of remember what kind of emails I can send out. So I broke it down to there's episode styles, there's epiphany styles, and then there's education styles. Okay, so I'll start here at episodes. So episodes are like, here's like an episode of my life, something that's happening, right? So one might be a controversial email like, oh, I saw this guy, you know, like right now as I'm recording this, Donald Trump's running for president, and he's giving us all sorts of fodder for like controversial, funny emails that can somehow tie back to your thing, right? Controversial email. Story-based education. How do you say that? Edutaining. So what's the story? What happened to you today? What happened to you when you woke up? What did your kid do last night? What did your wife say? What happened at dinner? What happened this morning when you were going to the office? What at the grocery store? What did you read online? Like, what are the stories that are happening in your life that you can bring in, right? So telling stories, but you're educating, right? So how does this relate to them? How can it give value to them? And then what happened today? This is, you know, similar to the story-based education, but it's even dumber. This is like, you know, like just a thing. Like, hey, here's something random happened today. By the way, you should go buy my thing, right? So it's just kind of what happened today. So these are just episode styles. They transition more to epiphany styles, right? Whenever I have an idea, like if you guys listen to my marketing in your car, the marketing in your car is probably my closest to consistent Seinfeld emails. We're getting better and better at them. And soon, hopefully, I'll be at the point where I'm perfect like Ben Settle, which hopefully I'll be there someday. I'm not quite yet. But my Marketing Your Car podcast, I'm a lot closer to that, and it's very much epiphany style, right? Like, I have an idea. It's like, hey, guys, I had an idea today. Let me talk. I want to just talk it out. You guys can listen to it. So here's an idea I had, okay? Or here's an inspiration. Like, I saw this person online. I saw this thing, and this is how inspirational it was for me. I saw this movie this weekend, or any kind of inspiration-based things. People love inspirational crap for whatever reason, okay? Then you got your enlightening, thought-provoking things. So what's something that's thought-provoking you can share with your audience, okay? What's something that happened to you or that in the past that made you think, share that with them. Challenging existing dogma and beliefs. What does your audience believe that's wrong? How can you smash that? How can you break that? Okay, Ben Settle's VSL one is a good example. Everyone thinks VSL is the best thing in the world. He's challenging existing dogma. VSLs suck, right? You got to do long form sales letters. He's kind of challenging that dogma, that belief. Okay. Now, educational style. People love getting checklists. They love getting how-to stuff. They love getting Q&As, FAQs. So these are other ones that we sprinkle in there as well. A lot of these are less Seinfeld style, but they give you things to send out each day. Here's a checklist for the 5 things you need to do each day before you get started. You know, here's how I tie a tie, or whatever it is. Here's Q&A I got recently from people asking about our product and FAQs. So that is a cheat sheet to kind of help you guys. But I hope you guys see the value of Seinfeld emails. You know, traditionally, what'll happen when somebody enters our autoresponder sequence, they get what we call our soap opera sequence. Some of you guys have gone through that before, that training. It's some kind of soap opera sequence to introduce them to the attractive character. And then from there, we transition them over to a list that sends out our daily Seinfeld emails that push people towards whatever our core product or service might be at the time. I do these all live because for us in the company, we've got different agendas. Like this month, I might be focusing on ClickFunnels. Next month, I might be focusing more on our high ticket selling. So whatever is the focus that we're publishing that month is where the Seinfeld emails will be tied back to. And that's kind of how we do that. So there you go, you guys. That is how you do daily Seinfeld emails. You've got the blueprint. You've got some examples. Now all you need to do is to go and actually do it. Try it out. I know when I first tried, I was nervous. I was scared. I was excited. And I think the first one I sent out was actually, I went to a meeting with Ben. And I've been testing, you know, basic ideas. And I went to this mastermind group that he was in. And he was just talking about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And that's when I went home. And that's when the golf one came out. Because that's when the salesperson came to my office. It was like in tears talking about how the guy treated her. And I was like, you know what? I'm going Ben Settle on this guy. And I literally went, wrote out the email, spammed it out. Not spammed it out. Sent it out to my list. And over 100 applications came from that, which was well over $100,000. And it was awesome. So hope this helps you guys a ton. Use it, abuse it, and let me know your results. Thanks again, you guys, for everything. Appreciate you being part of our programs. Appreciate you investing in our training, and I'll talk to you guys all again soon.
Hey, everybody. So what'd you think? That is what we refer to as our daily Seinfeld emails. Understand, as you went through it, Russell explained to you the importance of sending these out on a regular basis. Since this recording, Russell's actually implemented a really cool thing that's allowing us to do this more frequently and to be very, very consistent in it. And I want to give you that tip. So hold tight right here and take some notes, because this is how you can actually implement what Russell just taught. And so you can do it on a frequent basis and make sure that you get these things every single day. So what Russell is doing now, and you probably have seen him talk about this on Snapchat or on some of his Facebook Lives. What he actually does is, while he's driving around, grabs his phone, hits the record button, and actually speaks into his phone. So you get the dialogue, you get the conversation as far as how he's thinking and everything else. He then sends that to get a transcription of it, and that transcription then is edited, and that now becomes our daily Seinfeld emails. So quick little tip on that one. Make sure you're implementing these things right away. Again, don't wait on this kind of stuff. That your culture and building that culture is the most important thing you can do in your business. And the way you do that is by being congruent with your message, and you're out there talking to these people on a regular basis. They're hearing from you. They're believing in you. They're finding out who you are. They're connecting with you. The reason you guys follow Russell for as long as you have, and the reason ClickFunnels has such a massive culture, is because of this. You're able to see into the lives of us as far as what we're actually doing. And that becomes a part of what you guys have actually believe in and you become part of. So we appreciate the fact that you're ClickFunnels users. We appreciate the fact that you actually are listening to these podcasts. Again, go to funnelhackerradio.com/funnelu. You can get a copy of it. Again, thank you so much for all you guys do. We wish you all the best in your business. And thanks again for using ClickFunnels.